Sunday after Pentecost. So we are Easter people celebrating the Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit that came after Easter. So welcome to this beautiful worship service on this beautiful Monday morning. Every day is a gift from God, and let us be thankful to God for this blessing of this day that God has given us to be alive in this world and to be a blessing for the people around us. Please turn with me to the announcements in the back, second page of the bulletins. The regular announcements are listed there for your continued information and participation. The Georgia Mountain Food Bank, we are still collecting and continuing that ministry, to participate in that ministry in this community. The book is still available. Please let me know if anybody wants to buy that. The proceeds will go to the Piedmont Missions. And also the address is listed there for your information, as filling your checks or any other items that you may want to mail in. Please call me at that number for anybody who is struggling with the basic needs like utilities or groceries. We'll help them as much as we can. And also, we had a great cooking class yesterday. We had a lot of fried chicken, and Margaret did a great job in cooking three different flavors. So if you missed it, I don't know what to tell you. You can come next time. So the art class is for next Saturday. It's a great place to get together and have fellowship, and also a very relaxing time. If you want to get away from some of the pressures of your life, please join that art class. That I found it very, very relaxing. And Wayne is a great teacher, very patient, and you will never know what you can draw until you come and join that class, and Wayne helps you with that. The attendance and collections are listed at the bottom for our continued participation and prayer. Please pray for the church as we plan for the coming year, that God will enable us to do the right things and also do wonderful things for the kingdom of God. Next Sunday is Father's Day. We'll have some special songs and reflections for Father's Day next Sunday, so please bring your families if you have people interested coming to church with us. Please join us for that celebration as well next Sunday. Any other announcements or anything that I missed? No? If not, let us worship together God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
The man of God's own choosing.
Please be seated. What a great hymn. Martin Luther wrote this hymn and gave music in 1529 when his life was threatened. So remember, it's about 600, 700 years that we have been singing this song, and always encouraged by some of the words that he wrote from his soul, saying, "The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still." Let us go to God in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us together to come and worship together as your children in church and also online. Thank you for the various ways that you bless us, Lord, to gather us together and also to draw us to you closer every day. Every day is a gift from you, Lord, and we thank you for the gift of life that you give us to live in this world. Even though we did not deserve it, it is all because of your mercy and grace that we are here alive. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies. Above all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who came, gave his life for us so that we could be your children and call you Father. Bless us today as we worship together with all the saints around the world and angels in heaven, Lord, that we will lift up your name and your people will be blessed by your presence. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit. Help us to humble ourselves before your Spirit so that we can be blessed and touched by your Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be your witnesses in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other and also online. Good morning, everyone. Martha, good morning.
Good morning.
Chuck and Vicky, good morning. I see you, Chuck, today. Nice to see you, Chuck. Our fellowship time used to be longer than this.
We're still a little nervous to go up and hug
people. Hopefully we'll get out of that. Okay. Anyway, the choir will be singing a special now. Please remain seated as the choir. You can join it on the screen as well.
In love, amazing grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 66, verses 13 through 20. Please stand if you are able.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings and sacrifices, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams.
I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who worship God, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I cry aloud to God, who is high in grace with my tongue.
If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened, and has given me the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, or removed his steadfast love from me.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer together as a church family, trusting in God's promises that He will answer our prayers according to His will and His time. So, as people of God, let us raise our prayers of praises and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. At the same time, let us also share our prayers of burdens and concerns that we can share together and lift them up to the God, to the Lord of the throne of grace of God. If you turn with me to the back of the bulletin, the prayer requests are listed there. For your regular prayers on a daily basis, use this list for remembering these items and people in your prayers. Please continue to pray for Eddie as he is still struggling with his health issues. And Martha, are you on? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I haven't heard from my doctor, so I'm praying that no news is good news. I do go and see her Thursday, so I'll know for sure.
Okay, great. That is great to hear that. Any other special call-outs or prayer requests?
I spoke with Gene Brown Friday. He sounds weak, but he says he's good and he doesn't complain.
And we have a praise.
My grandson, everybody knows that short off too. So, yeah, morning yesterday at 6:50 p.m. Anyway, they found 2 ounces and 22 inches long.
Okay.
And his name is Avid, A-V-E-T-T, Brooks.
Yeah, I was struck by another cluster headache yesterday, somewhere around 3 o'clock, and if you have cluster headache, it's very bad. But thank God I'm here this morning. I took my medication and I went to sleep, but it has its own side effects, so please keep me in your prayers. Hope I can get through the message.
I have them.
You have them? Okay.
It needs to kind of see for me, don't
it? Yeah. Any other prayer requests? Let us keep our country in our prayers as you all do on a regular basis for unity and peace, and also the leaders of the nation, the president and lawmakers and governors of the states. And also let us continue to pray for our service workers and delivery people and all those who military and police and fire who risk their own lives to protect us and keep us safe and give us all the daily things that we need and enjoy. So let us be thankful for their services and also keep them in our prayers. And I wanted to say a special prayer for Marcus and his family also for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If there are no special call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. It's take a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close in a summarized prayer. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son but gave himself up for all, how will he also not give along with him graciously all things that we need? Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come together as your children, lifting up our prayers of praises and rejoicefully and gratefully thank you for all the blessings that you give us on a daily basis. At the same time, we come before you with burdens and concerns, and also you are there always listening to our groanings and our prayers. We thank you for the gift of life and the blessings, especially those have been shared here. We praise God for all the blessings, especially we pray for Martha for her continued healing and the good news that we are expecting to hear that she will be recovered back to normal count on her diagnosis. We also heard from Gene Brown as he is still weak, but we know that your presence is with him and continue to bless him all the years of his work that he has done for you, Lord, and we gratefully and thankfully thank you for his gift of service and his life in our lives. We thank you for the blessing of a new baby for JD and Margaret as a grandchild, Abbott. We pray for your guidance and your spirit to raise that child in your grace and knowledge. Give us the guidance to the parents and the grandparents that we will be a living and loving witness for you and for the people around that he grows up. And we praise for all the safe travels that you have given us and our people who have been traveling and travel mercies. We also thank you and praise you for another year in the married life of Kyle and Haley. Bless them as they continue their life together and the children. Bless them as a family to be loving and caring and also to be a living witness for you, for your kingdom, wherever they are. We pray for those who are struggling with various needs in their bodies, in their lives. As particularly we pray for Claudia, who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. We know that your healing hand will be upon her. We pray that you will touch her, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace for her and all the caregivers and her family members. We pray for Joyce. We pray that you will continue to be with them and her and guide them and as a family and bless her with your healing hands, Lord. We also pray for Shirley and Billy with their needs and their health and also families. We pray that your presence, loving presence, be with them and bless them with your peace in their hearts and lives above all. We pray for Eddie as he is continuing in his therapy and also struggling with his health. We pray for your special healing upon him, Lord, so that he will be strengthened again in his body. We know that he loves to be in church, but we pray that your grace be upon him. Above all, your will be done. And we pray for peace in his life and also in the members of his families. We particularly pray for Marcus and his family. Bless them with your divine guidance to make the right decisions and also all the dear struggles that they're going through you. We know that you're there to guide them and bless them with your peace above all. We pray for all those who are struggling with their health that we know of and we do not know, particularly with the COVID-19. A lot of people are struggling, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. We pray that you'll bring an end to this pandemic, that we can all be restored to normality, and then praise you again, Lord, together as your people in this church and around the world. We pray for our country, Lord, with all the various news and violence that are happening. We pray for your guidance and your presence and the Holy Spirit to work through the ends of this land to bring peace and unity. We pray for the president of this country and all the leaders who make decisions, the governors and the mayors, who make decisions that affect our lives on a daily basis. We pray for your wisdom to guide them, your Holy Spirit to keep them under balance, that they will do the right things and also will be good for the people of this country and also for the world. We pray for all those service workers and health workers and military police and fire workers. Pray for their safety, and we thank you for all their services, Lord. Continue to hold them in your hands from harmful ways. We pray that you'll keep them safe, and we pray for their families as well, Lord. We continue to pray for our church, Lord, that you have given us to gather here to be a witness in this community. Help us, Lord, to follow your guidance, that we can do things that you want us to do effectively, and guide us for the future, that we can do everything that you want us to do, to be a blessing to this community and around the world. Help us with your guidance as we worship together, Lord. Let your presence fill us in our hearts and in our church today and online, that we'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering as the choir will be singing a song. Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to us, so that in all these things, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work according to the blessings that God has given us. We thank you for the gift that you have given us today of life in this world, and also all the blessings that come with it. You are the source of all that we have and we are. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of your abundance that you have given us to take care of in this world. We pray for all those who have given today and also those who could not give today. Keep them all under your love and care and protection, Lord. And help us to be more faithful for you in your work of the kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading taken from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18 verses 9 through 14.
Good morning.
To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us so that it will be life and spirit in our lives. And also it will be a life and spirit to this world through us, Lord. As we come before your word, we pray that you will humble our hearts and minds and give us an obedient spirit to follow your word and also your commandments that you give us to do in our lives. Bless us with humility, Lord, and illumine our souls so that also we can understand the hidden truths in your word. Bless us as we listen to your word, and also when we go from this place, that we'll be more powerful for you in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you have noticed that I've been preaching about prayer and the importance of prayer and the significance of prayer and how we should pray and why we should pray. So I'll be continuing for the next few Sundays for the subject of prayer in our lives. Here we read about the story that Jesus told about two people who went to pray in the temple, Jewish temple. One was a Pharisee, a religious leader who kept all the religious laws and perfect in his eyes and also in the eyes of the world, did everything right, gave a lot of charity and also did a lot of charity for others. And there was a sinner also, Jesus said, was praying at a distance and who could not even look up to God in praying. So these are the two people that we see Jesus portraying to us even today that are real in our lives, this world. And at the lesson that Jesus was teaching through this parable, he also said that about people who are self-righteous and how they try to justify before God by themselves. And if we look at the story closely, we say that one was praying to himself. That's what we read there. And the other one was praying to God. Many times we pray to ourselves a lot. The way we pray to ourselves is that we have a list of things that we think that we can please God. That I have done this last week, I gave a good amount of money to the parking lot or to some other cause. So I feel better going to God with my prayers, right? So we pray to ourselves a lot, like the Pharisee did. And it's very easy to go and condemn the Pharisee because Jesus already condemned him. So it is easy for us to do the same thing. But if you look at our own lives, we probably are more closer to that Pharisee than the sinner. In my case, at least. I read a professor actually told this story in our class one time that he was grading the papers of exam. And when he finally finished one of the students' papers, he finished it at the end. The student has a comment or a request. And he says that, "Professor, this is the best paper I have ever written in my life. I hope you will do justice on this." Then he took note of it and said, well, I have to read it again then, you know. So that made him go back and review the paper again. And then he came back and he wrote a comment at the bottom, student, you don't need justice, you need mercy. Because we have an estimate about ourselves and our lives. Tend to overestimate ourselves many times. And it happens everywhere, not only in academics, but also in our personal lives. Particularly in the SAT, recently I read a study that showed that they had asked the students who took SAT exams take some survey exams too. And when they looked at one of the questions was that how they ranked themselves academically and how they ranked themselves in discipline, how they ranked themselves in leadership. These are random survey questions that they may ask. And in the discipline of academics and leadership, 99.9% of the students replied above average. Then who is going to be below average? If everybody is above average, 99.9. So we have a society where everybody feels good about themselves, which is not a bad thing, but at the same time we have to be careful about ourselves like the Pharisee, thinking righteous about ourselves and always being good and only the positives. But the prayer, when we make a prayer to God or we go to God in prayer, God wants us to be more realistic, to take our own lives as it is and not to be listing all the things that, like the Pharisee did, that I did this and I did that, so God bless me. The overestimation of our image can lead to a decline in our personal growth. Self-confidence is a good thing that can lead us to success, but overconfidence is the first step to failure. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us through this. God sees us as what we are, and he knows us, what the inside and outside of our lives. The Pharisee trusted in themselves that they were righteous people. In verse 9 we read that he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. So a self-congratulatory and self-satisfied display of religion and faith is what happens here. The Pharisees, I said, I told you before that they were very religious people who followed the law to the letter. They pray 3 times a day and they give a lot of things to charity, and then they read the scripture and do everything according to the law so that they can be justified before God through their own works and deeds. And some of them, there were different Pharisees. When I actually studied this passage, there are classification of Pharisees in those days of Jesus. Some of them Pharisees were called humpback Pharisees because they usually walk with a hump in their back, slouched over and bent back, and shuffled their feet instead of normal steps because they think that they are carrying the load of all the sins of the people on their shoulders. Then there are these bruised and bleeding Pharisees. It was interesting. These Pharisees close their eyes in front of women. They don't want to look at women. So whenever they see a woman, they close their eyes, and you know what happens after that? They bump into other things like walls and tables and other people, and they bruises all over their body. And many of them actually considered and measured their faith or holiness by the number of and severity of their injuries in their body. And there are these ever-seeking Pharisees. They were so named because of the record-keeping of their good deeds. They list their records of everything that they do. And some of them actually write them and used to wear them on their neck so that other people can see it, you know, what they did to display in front of other people. So there are many other Pharisees classifications also that I read, but these are the main three that I noticed. Then there are righteous Pharisees too, like the guy Nicodemus who came to Jesus, real truth seekers, also as Pharisees. But Jesus is telling us that all of these things that you do to display in front of others does not have or do not have any value in front of God when you go to God in prayer. God wants us to go as we are with a heart and a spirit of repentance about the sins and about the things that we did that we should not have done, or the things that we did not do that we should have done. Sins of commission and sins of omissions. Whoever lives in this world, it's a fallen world, and we are prone to sin, and nobody is exempt from sin. So when we go to prayer in front of a living God, a holy God, we need to be aware of our sinful nature, because every good work that we do is good, and let us continue to do that. At the same time, the scripture says that it is like filthy rags in front of God. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be justified and become righteous in front of God. Prayer should always have God at its focus and not us. Many times we focus ourselves more than God when we go to God in prayer. Prayer is not a list of things that we give it to God so that He can sign and approve it and give it back to us. That is not how prayer works. Many times we, like the Pharisee, we have a list of things that we go to God and we think that God is obligated to bless us. God, we believe that God owes us good things. Many times that's the way we feel. I don't know if I told you the story about this, the bagel vendor on the street who was selling bagels on the street for 50 cents. So there was this guy who used to jog in the street, and he usually goes there and threw 50 cents in there, and he would not take a bagel. He just wanted to support and help this guy. He continued to do that for several months, and one day this bagel guy stopped him and asked, and then this guy said, "You probably..." So this guy said, "Well, why did he stop me?" And asked him, "You probably want to know why I always put money in and never take a bagel, that, don't you?" Then the bagel guy told him, "I just wanted to tell you that the price of bagels have gone up to 60 cents." This is what we do. We go to God and thinking that God owes us everything. Does God owe anybody anything? No. God does not owe me anything. God gave this life as a gift, and I did not ask for it. And whatever comes with it, I take it with gratitude. Maybe sometimes there are things that I don't like, but I still thank God for that, because I did not deserve this life, but God gave me this as a gift. So that's the way Jesus is teaching us when we go to God in prayer, that God does not owe us anything, but we owe everything that belongs to God, because we belong to God. God is looking at our hearts and not looking at the outside of the list of the things that you have done. Prayer is not about comparing with others either. That happens with these self-righteous people. When we become so self-righteous, what happens is everybody else become below. You look down on other people spiritually, which is a big sin. Many times we fall into that kind of sin. The churchgoers, the regular church people, we feel ourselves a little highly elevated. I felt it sometimes, you know, then and repent about it. We are no good or better than anybody else out there. Remember that it is only because of God's grace that we are here to fellowship together, worship together. And God loves them as much as He loves us. So He is a loving God and kind and compassionate. And I read a story about a pastor. It is not me. A pastor and his wife were traveling on a long trip, and they talked to each other about things, church and preachers and all of that. And the pastor asked the wife, "How many good preachers do you think are there?" They were talking about preachers. And the wife answered, "One less than you would like to think." The Pharisees were boasting over the tax collector. It is like a college student saying, you know, I know more than a fourth grader. You know, you have heard that that phrase. Well, we sometimes think, we should hope so. We sometimes want to answer that question as well. So it seems that we set apart from others who seem to be in, and some of them, we count them out. As godly people, we have no right to compare ourselves with others. Always compare ourselves with Jesus. He is our standard, the measuring yardstick. And Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In Matthew chapter 5. So when we compare ourselves with God, we find no reason to boast of anything, because we always find ourselves short in front of God. There are some houses that are being painted white recently. I don't know, lately. Have you noticed that in our neighborhood, people started painting white on brick? White bricks are going everywhere. I don't know what's happening with that. But it looks nice and bright in the beginning, but one time when we had the snow, and the snow fell over all over the place, you could see the brightness of the house dimmer compared to the snow. So things that you appear to be great and bright and shiny are not as much as shiny and bright as you think they are. We need to compare ourselves with the bright nature of God, the loving, caring, compassionate and kind God, in front of whom we fall really short and less dim, and dimmer and less brighter. The tax collector was not comparing himself with others. He was looking at God's holiness, found himself, so he humbled himself before God. And he had no items or lists that he can bring before God to boast about. He came with a sense of repentance, and he kept a distance from the other people, and also he said he would not even look up to heaven because he did not have that. And we read that Jesus says that this man was beating his breast with his head bowed, evidence of sorrow and repentance of his own sins. Many times we think that we have figured God out, we figured out God already. But as human beings, we will never figure out God. Because God is so big and expanse that we will never get a handle on how big his greatness is. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit are the ones who do not compare themselves with others, but to look at their own lives and also see the spiritual bankruptcy that they have in their lives. And as I said before, Isaiah 64, we read that all of us have become unclean and unrighteous, and our good works are like filthy rags. God has taught us to go to God and call him Father, and he gave us that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that I will be preaching from one of these Sundays. There we start the prayer, Our Father in Heaven. So when we go to God in prayer, we are like a father and children relationship. He already knows what we need and what we want in our lives. And he already has plans for us. So when we go to God in prayer, go with a sense of repentance about our sins, and at the same time, know that there is a living and loving Father who knows everything that we need, and trust in his care and compassion. And do not be afraid, but be emboldened to ask for forgiveness. And God is there to forgive us whenever we go in the wrong direction. The Bible says, God gives grace to the humble in James chapter 4, and he continues to say in chapter 4 again that humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And just like the Pharisee and the tax collector, we still have our lives balanced like that in two different ways when we go to God. Where are we when we go to God in prayer? Are we like the Pharisee, or are we like the tax collector, the sinner, who was repentant and also humbled before your God, humbled before God? The scripture says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us go to God in prayer whenever we pray, that there is God who will always answer our prayers, but not because of our merits, only because of His grace, and we always be repentant when we go to God in prayer. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is Trust and Obey, at 467 in the book. If you are able, please stand. Bible says that God refreshes the humble and gives new courage to those who repent in their hearts. So let us go to God in prayer with a repentant heart to pray just not for ourselves but also for others in our regular prayers. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.